Would you please turn with me now tonight in your Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 2. And again, if you're using one of our red Bibles, you'll find it on page 870, 870. Book of Colossians and the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. Paul writes, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh." May God bless his own precious word to our hearts tonight. Please, let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, as we look into thy word tonight, as we have read this portion, and now that it is open in front of us, our prayer is simple that our hearts would also be open to the word. I pray that every distracting thought and everything that would intrude upon this sacred hour would be taken away. I pray that whatever plan Satan has for this meeting to take away the seed of the word, he would be stopped from his evil intention. Lord, may we be overcome and overwhelmed by a sense of the presence of the Savior sitting in the pew beside us. Lord, standing here in the pulpit next to me, O God, I am conscious of my own weakness and of the need of the strength of the Spirit of God to enable me as a minister of the gospel to faithfully and clearly proclaim the truth of God so that no one would misunderstand, from the very youngest one here to the oldest saint. O God, may there be something, a handful of purpose, may there be some blessing from the Scripture to every heart. Lord, as we prayed earlier, it may be that someone is here seeking for clear direction in their life. I pray that that will come by the Word of God and by the Spirit ministering to every heart. Lord, it may be that someone here needs a word of direction, of conviction. Lord, I pray that would be clearly given by the Scripture tonight. And Father, for someone who might be here without Christ, they have never been born again of the Spirit of God. Maybe, Lord, they have heard the gospel message many times. Maybe they've even been sitting in this church for a long time, and yet still, the heart is hard, they're closed. I pray, Father, it might please thee tonight to save precious souls. Lord, we have heard the commandment and the admonition from the Gospel of Matthew. We look unto the fields, and they are white already to harvest. They are past the time of reaping, and yet the laborers are few. Father, you've told us that we are to pray to the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. I pray, Lord, that even tonight some person would sense the call of God upon their life. Someone would sense and say, there's a job and a work for me to do, and I dare not step aside from it as I sense and know the call of God. Lord, hear this prayer. Answer according to thine own precious word. Bless us now tonight. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. I want to leave with you, please, the words of verse 10 of Colossians chapter 2. These words, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Ye are complete in him. There is a funny saying that perhaps some of you have heard before, that they say that a man is not complete until he gets married, and then he is finished. Well, I'm not so sure the truth of that one, and we better not make any more comments on that tonight. We'll leave those who are more skilled or qualified to make those further comments on that one. But you know, when it comes to doing a project, setting out on building something, maybe a renovation project that you have engaged in, you look down the line and you look to see the completion of that job and task. And I think sometimes of the imagination that it takes and the vision for a person who is an architect, for they have a blank piece of paper before them and they're commissioned to design something, a building or a landscape. Maybe it's something of a park or a golf course, even something that is beyond the normal person's vision. But they have in their mind what the finished project looks like, and so they write it down on a piece of paper, or they use their AutoCAD, the program, and they'll have it all designed. And my, you see the finished picture. It was in the imagination of the architect, And they, in a sense, have that vision of the completion of that project. But not one shovel has gone in the ground yet. And not one piece of dirt has been turned over. No material has been purchased. It's all there just in paper, and it's in a vision. I think I may have shared with you that not too long ago, my son and I began a project in our basement of renovating a bathroom that was down there. And the great gusto to start out with on such a project like that, and all the plans and everything sorted out. And okay, well, we have write it down on paper and all we want to do and do this, do that, do something else. Well, that's okay on paper. And then the demolition begins. And you take out the old stuff that has to go down. And in our project, it went right down to the concrete floor. The 2x4s came out. The drywall came out. It was right stripped bare. And of course, at that point, there's no turning back. You have to go forward, or at least you have to call a contractor to come in and finish the job that you began and messed up on. But there was a vision to have a completion of that job. Well, when you're about halfway through that job and you think this is never going to end, this is not going to see the finished conclusion of the thing, and you need at that point a little bit of tenacity and a little bit of say, well, I've got to get this thing done because I can't leave it halfway like this. And the project goes on, and it goes on, and it drags on. And of course, if you had a professional in, it would probably be done in about a 1/4 the time, or maybe less than that. But nonetheless, sometimes we bite off a little bit more than we can chew. I have to smile because my brother Jonathan and Dana have also been involved in a similar project. I didn't know that till after we had started ours in their basement. And well, theirs is not quite finished yet, at least I don't think it is. But I can assure you that ours did get done, finally finished. And when you put the last screw in the faceplate that's going on this circuit on the wall, when you put the last piece of trim down and you step back and you say, it's completed. There's a great satisfaction in that. And you hope that everything's straight, although sometimes things are a bit this way when they should be more this way. And anyways, don't look at the close details of the work as far as the bet we did the best that we could do. Completing a project. You know, my friends, you and I are works in progress with the Lord. And I want us to think tonight, though, of the great joy that we have knowing, according to these words in verse number 10, that we are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are complete in Him. And I want us to dwell on that thought tonight for the time that's left in our service. And I want you to think for a moment and rejoice, because maybe tonight you're cast down. Maybe your heart is heavy. Maybe you're overwhelmed with the issues of life and you don't know where it's all going to end. Let me assure you tonight that in Christ you are already completed in the eyes of God. But how is it that we see ourselves complete in Christ? What does that mean for you? Well, let's think about it practically, because in the first place, you are complete, we are complete in salvation. We are emphasizing this morning from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 of the great redemption that we have in Christ Jesus, and the little illustration and story that we showed you to the boys and girls about Martin Luther and what he did, and how that there was no way in which a man could pay for his own sins by money, gold, silver, whatever that would be, or our good works. We cannot accomplish and do that. But you see, my friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no payment that you and I can make. Why? Because He has finished that work. He has completed the work of our salvation. And if you have come by simple childlike faith and you have trusted in the Lord as your own personal living Savior, then you are also complete in your salvation through what Jesus Christ has done for you. Do you know that hope and peace in your soul tonight? My friend, it might be that you're here in this meeting, a young person perhaps, maybe you're listening online, and you have never sealed that point of your own personal salvation with Christ. You cannot buy your way into heaven, you know. You cannot buy it by your good works or church membership or your baptism or anything else that you've done. You cannot do that. It's impossible. And right now there is a great list of your own guilt that's hanging over your head of your sin. My friend, tonight I can tell you, by the authority of what God has done for me, I am a testimony to this. For I know that I am a sinner, but I know that Christ Jesus is my Savior. And I know that He has died upon a cross of Calvary to take away my sin. And the joy and the peace that is abiding in the heart of every true Christian is this peace, that I am complete in Him. And that He has given to me an everlasting salvation that He will not take away. And there's not one thing, friend, that can be added to improve the work that Jesus has done. When He died upon the cross, the last words that He spoke, "It is finished." The work of your redemption is done. That atoning work has been completed. And there's not one thing that anyone can or dare try to add to that work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. It is one word in the original, "It is finished." And that work that Jesus did to accomplish your salvation, it means tonight, my friend, that as you put your faith and your trust in Him, as you call upon the Lord and say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner," and you pray that prayer, He will come into your life. He will change you. He will forgive and wash and cleanse you from all your sin. And you will know the joy and peace of abiding in Him. Because, my dear friend, tonight, if you are found in the Lord, then you are complete in your salvation. What does that mean to you when the devil tries to come and convince you that you're not really saved? He comes and tries to convince you you have no assurance of your salvation, and maybe you trusted in Christ. This is an important point. Young people, listen and hear, because it may be that when you were younger, you made a profession. You called on the Lord. You did by your parents or by the preaching of the gospel, and you trusted in the Lord. But now, you're not so sure. Now you have doubts. Don't worry about the fact that you have doubts of your salvation. Don't think that you're a deficient Christian. Don't think that you're somebody that's strange or weird or way out there, because every single person who has ever come to know the Lord Jesus, at some time or another, we have all doubted our salvation. But do you know, when we come back to the Word of God and we come back to the written revelation of God, the Lord Jesus said, "Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast, no way cast out." And so, my young friend, if you've come to trust in the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior, and you've asked Him to forgive your sins, He has promised and He will keep His word. And Christ cannot lie. He cannot go against His own precious promise and word. And so come and bask in the sunlight of the work that Jesus has done. He has completed His work, and we therefore are complete in our salvation. And it cannot be added to or taken away from. You are found tonight in Christ. Then you have everlasting salvation. And it cannot, and the Lord will not, take that away from us. Depend upon the Lord's promise. Depend upon His word, and you will know for sure that you are all in all in Him. I think I shared with you a little while ago, when our brother Alf Jordan was still living, and we went to visit him sometimes in the Shepherd Manor where he was. And one time he said something that really struck me. And he said, "I am fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, it doesn't sound all that stark, does it? I am fulfilled in Christ. Maybe you have heard other people say that. But at that moment when he said it, here was a man on the verge of death. Here was a man who had lived a long life. And he had spent many years by himself, alone in that home. His wife had passed away many years before. So he was really lonely. though he had fellowship with people that were around him. But for him to utter that statement at that time in his life when he had gone through so much himself, to step back and say, I am fulfilled in Christ. He meant that he did not want and did not need anything else beyond that. He was satisfied with what the Lord Jesus had done for him. And you know that word in verse 10, the word complete, it also means the word fulfilled. So really what Mr. Jordan was saying, he was saying, I am completed in the Lord. I am fulfilled. I don't need anything more. And if you are rejoicing in the Savior tonight, my friend, you also are satisfied and fulfilled and completed in Him. And there is no want and no need of anything further beside that. But notice with me, please, secondly from this text, what does it mean to be complete in Christ? It means that you are fulfilled in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you turn back to John chapter 1 for a moment with me, please? Fulfilled and completed in Christ means that we are fulfilled in His grace. John chapter 1 is really akin to the epistle of John chapter 1. And of course, it is the same author, John, and he writes along much of the same theme. And when we look at verse 15 and 16, but 16 is the one we want to highlight here. But it says, John bare witness of Christ, and he cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. For he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness all we received, and grace for grace. You see, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us His grace in abundance. And if we see ourselves having been finished and fulfilled and completed in our salvation in the Lord, and we continue on, because what God is doing in us now, He is doing a sanctifying work. He is doing a building and a completed work. And when you look at the renovation project that the Lord is doing, it may not seem to be very far along. In fact, you may see nothing but wires and plumbing hanging out. You may see nothing but unfinished walls, and you wonder, wow, is this ever going to get done? Sometimes, friend, you and I can look into our own spiritual life and we might think, Lord, there's so much work to be done in me. I need more grace. And you know, we come to the Savior and we find that the promise that He is giving to us, His grace that is multiplied, it is grace upon grace. It is His mercy upon mercy applied to us. It is the Lord's promise that He will not fail to accomplish and complete that which He began to do in us. And the Lord is at work in you and me tonight. And therefore, my dear brother and sister, do not despair. Do not cast yourself aside and think that there is no hope for me. It's too much of a mountain to climb. I cannot ever accomplish this. Never mind you trying to accomplish it. It is the grace of God in you that will see it fulfilled and completed. Because what the Lord Jesus has begun, the great architect, He will complete it. He sees the end picture. He sees what the project is going to be in finality. And though you might look inside your own heart and you see nothing but despair, unfaithfulness, failed promises, depression, at times being cast down, wondering how can I ever get to the end of all this? Oh, friend, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face. Because the Lord is at work in you tonight. He's at work in me. He has completed you in salvation, and He has completed and fulfilled you by His grace. And he has promised that he will do that until the very, very end. But notice with me, please, thirdly, that you are complete in the purpose of the Lord in your life. Complete in salvation, yes. Complete because his grace is building you and adding to you. But you are also complete, my friend, in the purpose that he plans to accomplish in your life. I'd like you to turn back to Psalm 138 for just a moment. Psalm 138. Verse 8 of this psalm has been, for me, great encouragement in the times when I've gone through great weakness and fainting fits and discouragement, thinking that all is cast aside and there is no hope. But look what the Lord says he is doing in us. The Lord, notice the capital letters, it is Jehovah. It is speaking of Christ himself here, for he is Jehovah, the living and true God. In verse 8 it says, the Lord will perfect. That word means complete, it means fulfill. The Lord will perfect, Christ will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. And so here the psalmist makes a prayer. And the prayer he makes is that, Lord, you've started on this project. You started on this job, and you promised that you will complete it until the end. But Lord, please do not forsake the work of your own hands. It's a prayer in one sense, a prayer of weakness. It's not so much a prayer of faith, I don't think, of the psalmist, because, well, the Lord does never fail at what he starts to do. And so yet in our weakness, we sometimes say, oh God, don't forsake me. Don't leave me alone. Don't leave me to myself. Whereas the Lord is saying all along, I will never forsake the work of my hands. I will never forsake the child for whom I have died. The Lord has shed his blood for us. We belong to him. He will never cast us off. We belong to him, my friend. And what God is intending in your life tonight, he is going to bring it to conclusion. He's going to bring it to a conclusion for his honor and for his glory. And he will complete that which concerns us. Dear brother and sister tonight, bring your disappointments to him. Bring your weakness to him. Do exactly what the Apostle Paul did. Bring that prayer of the thorn in the flesh that's troubling you. Cast it before God. But listen to the words that he says to you. My grace is sufficient. I am going to fulfill what I intend to do in your life. Do not cast yourself aside. For I have not cast you aside, the Lord says. I have a purpose that you're going to complete. And by my grace and power and strength, you will complete that. Therefore, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Oh, there is so much to cast us aside when we look at disappointments around us. But the greatest disappointment we look at is when we look in the mirror. That's the disappointment of ourself. For we have failed the Lord. But when you think and are overwhelmed by your own disappointment, friend, don't look at the mirror anymore, but rather by faith see what Jesus is doing in you. Look back to the Scriptures and be not cast aside or cast down. For the Lord promises that a righteous woman, a righteous man, though he stumble and fall, we shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds us in his way. He is completing, and he will be perfecting that which concerns us. I'd like you to turn for a moment with me, please, to a very well-known scripture in Romans 8. But this just really reinforces what I'm saying to you now. And I believe that reinforcement by the Spirit of God will help you and will carry you going on. Look at verse number 30 of Romans chapter 8. Moreover, whom God did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. There are four things mentioned in this verse that God has done, His work. He has predestinated us. He has called us by the Spirit of God. And then He has justified us before His very throne in heaven, justified us because of Jesus and what He has done. And then notice this part, them He also glorified. My friend, the truth that is contained here in this scripture is a truth that means that the way God is looking at your life, at my life today, we are already glorified with Him. We are already in heaven. How can the Lord do that? Because He's the great architect, the author and the finisher of our faith. And because He is the great architect of our salvation, He has mapped out the course and He knows exactly what He's doing. Yes, even through our failures and our faults, yet God will accomplish what He sets out to do. And my friend, you tonight are seen before Him through the Lord Jesus as being already glorified. You know, the Apostle Paul brings this out for us in Ephesians as well, for he said, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. You're already there. That's how he looks at it. And so, my friend, be encouraged tonight in your own heart. Be thankful because the Lord is not giving up on you. And therefore, do not give up on Him. Do not give up on yourself. I leave one final thing with you, fourthly, that we are fulfilled in the reward of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, heaven is our home. And we're going there very soon. And that is something that we need not be afraid of. Let us not fear the face of death. Let us not fear as we come to the valley of the shadow of death. Let us not fear that we're going to go through that, because God has a purpose that all men must die once. And apart from the Lord coming back again, and we know not when that will be, most everyone possibly in this building will go through the valley of death. But fear not, my friend, for if you are in the Lord, you are completed in Him in salvation. You're completed through the grace that He gives us. You're completed in the purpose that He intends for your life. And you're completed in the great reward that He is giving. We are happy in that. And we can be thankful and rejoice today. Let me ask you, friend, are you secure and safe in the Lord Jesus, in His arms? Is He holding you in His hands? Underneath are the everlasting arms of the eternal God, and what He promises, He will complete. He will not fail. And therefore, be confident in Him. And if you don't know the Lord tonight, right where you are seated, say, Lord, please make me complete in Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we acknowledge tonight that this verse we have been dealing with is so vast, so great. It is full of so much of the Savior's work and purpose. And I pray, therefore, that we might just tap into and scratch the surface, as we say, of its truth. And, O Lord, write it upon our hearts, we pray. Draw near to us now and bless us. For any who are still unsaved, may they come to rest in the Savior tonight. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. We're going to sing one hymn tonight now in closing, number 449. It is so appropriate, as the author wrote on this very theme, "Complete in Thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of Thine." Let's stand, please, while we sing. Lord, cement this truth, we pray, in our minds and hearts. Let not the devil take the seed of its truth away from us. Carry us now on our way rejoicing tonight. Take us to our homes in safety. And when the alarm goes off tomorrow morning to arise to a new day's work, let the joy of Christ go before us, and let his peace and power and purpose be fulfilled in all our lives. Give us the strength, Lord, to go on. Hear our prayers now. Part us in thy fear with thy rich blessing. We pray in his almighty name. Amen.